Well, amen, good to see you today, and I'll ask you to turn to two portions of Scripture. Can you hear me out there? Okay. Two portions of Scripture, and first of all, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Okay, and put your ribbon or bubblegum wrapper or finger, or somebody else's finger, whatever, in that place. And turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now when you get it, look up so I'll know that you have the portion of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3 and 1 Timothy, or 1 Corinthians 3. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Let me read that again. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, just look at that first phrase. It says, "Let no man deceive you." Let no man deceive you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day. And we pray that you would help us as we look at your Scripture today. Now, I want to be a blessing to these folks. I want to be an instrument in your hand for these folks. And I pray that you would help that to happen today through your word. Holy Spirit, shine your light on our hearts and open our eyes to see the truth this morning. And I pray that you would work through your word, and we'll give you all the honor and the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want us to think this morning about deception. Deception. I've been thinking about this for a while, and I wanted to share some things with you and challenge your hearts this morning for a few moments. Paul is speaking here to Timothy, one of the last letters he'd write, and he starts this chapter in chapter 2, and he says, "This also know that in perilous in the last days perilous times shall come." And let me just tell you something. We're right in the middle of those times here. If the past 2 years have been a proof that this is real. We've seen prophecy right before our eyes. Amen. And we've seen things taking place that we never thought would happen. The word of God is being fulfilled at this very moment, and there is deception everywhere. I want to say this: we're in dark, devilish, deceptive days. We're in the times that our forefathers and our relatives that planted this church never imagined. People would, we use that phrase, would turn over in their graves, the things that are happening. I thank God that I'm American, but unless you're blind and you've recently seen, we have a government within zero integrity. We have zero concern for the things of God, the Word of God, the Constitution, and zero respectability. We live in a nation that is plotting against our children with the transgender movement. Now, let me just say something. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a biologist. But I know the difference between a man and a woman.
Amen.
I do that, know that. And bringing these messed up individuals into the schools, these transgenders and libraries, and dressing our kids up like them, that is the deception. That's wicked and should not be allowed. We've just had a Supreme Court justice that's been approved, and she could not describe that she was a woman or a man. I'm going to tell you something. That's sickening, saddening.
Big time, brother. Amen.
That's a problem.
Yep. Amen. Preach it.
Years ago, they said, "Well, dismissed. Next one up."
Exactly.
Sonograms tell young people every day, it's a boy or it's a girl, right? And listen, a man is a man and a woman is a woman. Children do not have gender problems unless you make them that way. That's deception. Deception is in the news media. I don't care if it's CNN, MSNBC, NPR, or Fox News. They're all deceptive. Turn them off, your blood pressure will go down. They have an agenda. They're the biggest bunch of liars and deceivers. They have no concern for Christians. They constantly produce lies. The deception after deception, and it's not news, it's views. Our educational institutions are becoming indoctrinating mills. And once a child gets out of elementary school, and it's filtering down to the upper elementary in certain places, but they're not teaching our children English and math and history. They're teaching them wokeism, transgenderism, homosexuality. They're teaching them and more.
Yes, brother. Yep.
Our schools wait until somebody gets killed to protect our children. I heard of an officer that was assigned to a school a couple weeks ago, and there was somebody trying to get to school with a firearm, and they shot him dead. Praise God.
Amen.
But you don't hear about that.
Right.
You don't hear about that. You know, these young people go to school, and some nut gets in there, and it's not just a gun. They could kill them with a bomb. They could kill them with cars. It doesn't. Some nut, and we don't do preventive. Maintenance. That is not a sign of a plan. That's not a different option. That's a sign of I don't care about kids. I wish we would wake up. It's 360 degrees. No care for our children. Our churches have become centers of deception. I'm not talking about difference in churches and different colors or whether they use this organ or that color carpet or they have choir with ropes. I'm talking about deception concerning the Word of God.
Yep.
Let me just say, women are never to be preachers. Amen. If you listen to one, you ought to slap yourself in the face.
Amen.
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 Now, some of them can preach pretty good, but that's not doesn't mean they're supposed to be preachers.
Amen.
By the way, if you're listening by way of live stream, we may not have a lot of things here at Faith. But we preach the truth, and we're going to keep preaching the truth, and we're going to stand by the truth, and we're going to love sinners, and on and on.
Amen.
Isaiah says this in chapter 59, and verse 14, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Ms. Creed just told me this week, what's that? Is that Toy Story? The new Toy Story has a homosexual scene in it.
Yep.
Now, I used to get up, we used to get up Saturday mornings. I don't know if any of you did this, but the only time you had cartoons was Saturday morning was special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, I used to stand up and hear, here's George Jetson, Jane, his wife, Johnny Quest,
yep. Yep.
Ruh-roh, Scooby-Doo. And I watched Casper the Friendly Ghost and the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. That was fun. And all these different, and we'd get up in the morning around the little TV, and we'd have our bowls of cereal, and we'd watch those things. No homosexuals, no transvestites. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's here. It's here. You say, what is it? It's deception. It's deception. If you find yourself saying, you know, preacher, you need to pump the brakes, you're deceived.
Amen.
You find
right.
yourself
That's
saying,
right.
well, preacher, you're getting a little hard on us. You're deceived.
Amen.
You're
Amen.
Deceived. You're in the water and you've let it warm you up and you think that being part and morphing into the fabric of the world is okay. It's not okay. You're deceived.
Mm-hmm.
You're deceived. I Jim and Donna just welcomed a little baby in. We got these two little babies here. Well, I don't know what kind of world they're going to grow up in, folks.
I don't know, brother.
It's a world of deception. Peter deceived himself. Peter says this. He said, I'm going to die for you, Lord. Jesus said to him in Matthew 26 and 34, he says, verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. I don't care how big a Christian you are or what you think, you need to take heed lest you fall.
That's right.
You're deceiving yourself. He was deceived. Samson. Man, he was going right along. His parents said, don't you mess with that girl. Don't you go over and start dating that girl. She doesn't know God. He was over Delilah, and finally Delilah said, "Hey, the Philistines are on you." And he, listen, the Bible says he wist not the Spirit of God had departed from him. Say, what happened? He was deceived. You find him with his eyes put out, and he's grinding. And David was deceived. We see David with his stones, and he went and got five stones. Someone said he got five stones because Goliath had four brothers.
That's true.
And he's going to take care of them too. I don't know, but God, I think God sent a couple of angels, man, and they just propelled that thing right between his eyes. He cut his head off. But David, as great as he started out, you find him a king, and then you find him looking at his son dangling from a limb, killed. His son was trying to overthrow him, his son, and that was part and parcel of his sin with Bathsheba. He deceived himself. He deceived himself. And on and on, the Bible records story after story of self-deception. You look at a character in the Bible, but you see them deceiving themselves and thinking they can do it themselves and thinking they can handle things. And let me just say, and I want to tell you this, your greatest enemy is not our government. Your greatest enemy is not our outlets. Your greatest deceiver is you. You. You are the greatest deceiver. You can study the Word of God and Bible facts, but unless the Word of God is allowed to be transfused into your spiritual bloodstream, it does you no good. We've got a lot of people who know a lot about the Bible, but we have few that practice it. You study the Bible, you think that's it. That's not where it stops. It doesn't stop there. Let me give you some things quickly, three things quickly, because I'm hungry. Number one, I want you to think about this as far as deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived as a Christian that is when we're right and we have no compassion for those who are wrong. Don't be deceived into when you know you're... Let me just say something. You don't have to be the smartest person in the room. And you don't have to respond to people, "You're wrong, no, that's false," or "You're stupid." That's not compassion. But book of Jude says this in verse 22, "And of some having compassion making a difference." We forget where we came from. Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." Don't deceive yourself into thinking because you know a lot and because you understand a lot, because you're in a certain place in your Christian life, that you don't have to have compassion on those that don't know. Don't look around at those that are lost and look at their actions. Look at them as weighed between heaven and hell, a soul that's going to face eternity one day, and that I can make a difference if God will lead me and God will use me, and have compassion on them. Christ died for all people. He died for the Catholics. He died for the Methodists. He died for the Presbyterians. He died for the Baptists. He died for Adolf Hitler. He died for Mussolini. He died for Gaddafi. He died for the worst criminal you can ever think of or read of. He died for them. Don't get into this practice thinking, "Well, you know, I know this much and I can look down on them." And don't walk around. When you get that spirit, pray and ask God for forgiveness. The more you learn, the more humble you should be.
Amen.
The more you learn, the more responsibility you have. I want you to notice again, and all deceivers, God died for them. But I want you to notice again, don't be deceived when we think we can put garbage in and get good out.
Amen.
We're deceived. We're deceived if we think we can put garbage in. Phrase you hear from a computer person is garbage in, garbage out. Right, John? Garbage in, garbage out. And you think, you say, "What are you saying, preacher?" Well, holiness is in the Bible. It's not holy, holy, boy, am I holy. Holiness is in the Bible. Believe what we believe and come to a church and then go and dump garbage and expect good to get out. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. We must be careful what we watch. A pastor preaches holy living is now a legalist. He's old-fashioned, and that doesn't work today. Listen, the blood that was shed on the cross has worked and will continue to work, and holy living has worked and will continue to work, and times don't change God. I am the Lord, I change not. We need to look at our lives and look at the world, and if we see a similarity, then we're in problem. We see a separation and a difference. We need to look at Jesus and see if there's a similarity or a difference.
Amen?
Amen? Don't be deceived. Some of you ladies can say amen if you want to. I don't care. We'll make a special dispensation this morning. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, listen, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You know, I hear that all the time. You know, preacher, we have Christian liberty. There are boundaries. There are boundaries. It says, for occasion of flesh, but by love serve one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. You know, we got this real pretty building. It's got gold and silver shining. People pull in there with Mercedes-Benz. People with suits at the door with suits and everything, don't they? Right there on West Street. We go past there to go to our cleaners. Go in there and get marijuana. I mean, it's packed. It's packed. I'd like to get a banner put on the front of it, you know, instead of I forget what it's called. We just know it's the pot house. We're going to save it, put a sign on Zombieland. But when we think, well, you know, we can do that. We can get away with that. Let me tell you something, folks. You and I need to understand and it's legal. It's legal. We were talking about abortion. Legally, in certain states, abortion is legal. But it's murder with God. You understand when a baby is aborted, the mother is a murderer, the doctor is complicit, the nurse is complicit, the people that invested that complicit. Let me tell you something, Judgment Day is going to be a long line, Brother Joe.
Amen.
I don't know if you heard this, but Robert's got him really worked up. He started talking about homosexual unions. He started talking about that being the next thing. Praise God if we get that overturned, amen?
Amen.
But it'll go back to the states. And so they're cleaning that. They're cleaning house up there on Capitol Hill at the Supreme Court. But I want you to notice, listen, things may be legal and they may be okay for the world, but they're not okay for me as a Christian. Amen. Let me say this and I close. We shouldn't be deceived when we take in information expecting automatic execution. We sing the song, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Well, let me tell you something. That's not automatic. We can't expect to be in church and everything. Listen, we want to desire to know God more and more. He knows us. He knows you. Psalm 42:1. As the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul for thee, O God. I want to know you, God. I want to know more about you. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto death. I want to know God. Father came home one day and his boy was in his room on his computer. Straight A student. He says, how you doing, son? He says, well, I'm fine. I got an A in English, A in history, A in all A's. And he says, good to see you, Dad. If you excuse me, I want to get back to my homework and finish it. He goes into his study, and there's books all over the room, and his Down syndrome son is standing in the middle, and his son says, and looks up at him and starts smiling. He says, "Daddy, you're home." He runs over to him and he hugs him and he said, "Daddy, I've been reading these books just like you. I want to be just like you." Now my question is, wonder which one got the ice cream. See, we think, well, we can play the game. Slip in and slip out. And I can be just what people need to see. To look at me and say, they must be spiritual. They must be a man of God. They must be a woman of God. But inside, we know we don't know God the way we ought to. We don't desire to know Him anymore. We just want enough, and we need to turn the phone off and the CPU and the Apple Watch and the TV and shut everything out and get alone with God. Why do we have more truth and insight in our churches and more problems? Riddle me that. Why do we have that? Why do we have that? We have the Southern Baptist Convention, which is a denomination which has been corrupt for years, mm-hmm. which is imploding, praise God. And it's just come out that they've been hiding wickedness. Mm-hmm. And now they have decided to... That's not their choice. That's a crime.
Yep.
I have preacher friends that all over that they're saying their Southern Baptist brother preachers are coming and talking to them to get some insight as to what to do. It's not a real big question, or just become independent like the Bible says.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, if we really named this church properly, we would call this the church at Glendale. You know, I have preacher friends, and some guys start churches and they name it, and they don't call it Baptist. And I have pastors getting all over, and I said, well, let's look at this church here. What was this church here in Philippians? Well, that was the church at Philippi. I mean, they didn't call themselves Baptist. I'm just not going to read that book anymore. You see, we throw out the baby with the bathwater, and we think we are not a denomination, folks. Here, we're an independent church, and we're Christians. We're Bible believers. You say, why do we call it Baptist? Our enemies called us Baptists because we believe that a person ought to get saved first and then baptized.
Right.
We didn't come out of the Catholic Church.
Exactly.
The universal church. The universal. They're a cult, man. They don't even believe you ought to believe the Bible.
Exactly.
They believe in works, salvation, and bingo. And what are you saying, preacher? I'm not saying. The Bible's saying we don't need to be deceived into thinking that we can come in here and get preached to and teach and study the Word of God, and it's an automatic thing.
Right.
Salvation is not time-release capsule that you take, and it's automated throughout the rest of your life. We need to, on purpose, live the Word of God in action. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Let no man deceive himself. The Bible is telling us today, sisters and brothers, the biggest deceiver is you. Do not be deceived. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Look to God first. Get to know Him. The more you know God, when Satan shows up, you'll know who it is.
Exactly.
When something shows up, The red light will go off in your head. Holy Spirit is able. Say within your heart, hey, something's up here.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Amen? Do you remember that time? Remember when you got saved and the Holy Spirit, when something was happening, the Holy Spirit would say, hey, 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 hey.
Yes.
Maybe now it's the volume's turned a little bit down. Why? You've been deceiving yourself. I believe it's high time that we as Christians, that we at Faith Independent Baptist, looked at ourselves in the mirror and said, hey, hey you, stop it. No more deception. No more playing church. No more playing Christian. I'm going to stand up and be counted. Amen?
Amen?
Let's bow our heads. No one looking around. Hey, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I go to heaven. Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony? I know I'm saved. You may put your hands down. You're here and you say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. If I die today, I don't know for sure I go to heaven. But if I know my heart, I would like to. I would like to know. I don't completely understand. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? I couldn't raise my hand with the others. But I'd like to know Christ. I'd like to know Christ. I'd like to know. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to make you say anything. But we just like to pray for you. So, preacher, pray for me. Anybody else? Now, I'm speaking to Christians. Preacher, my God spoke to my heart either to get some things right or to be on the lookout, but I understand that my biggest enemy is me, and I do not want to be deceived. God spoke to my heart today. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Don't be deceived. Father, thank you for the word. May we respond, Holy Spirit, to your conviction in kind. In Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. God spoke to your heart. You come. There may be some friends you need to cut loose. There may be some habits you need to cut loose. There may be some reading material you need to go home and chuck. There may be some electronics you need to get rid of. It's between you and God. Would you let God work? Well, amen. Thank you. And Eduardo, good to have you today. Come back and see us. We were kidding about Bella. She's a favorite of ours. And also Chimuda. And so we appreciate y'all coming. VBS mentioned that we start to bring in snacks. And if you have a question about that, let us know. Hey, listen, pray for it. We see young people saved every year. And this is an opportunity for that. Also, Bert Simpson, his dad did not pass away. He's taking care of his dad. I want to make a correction. He's taking care of his dad. I knew his dad years ago, and Al Brown, and a good friend, and so continue to pray for him.
And pray for Beth, because she's been in the hospital for 2 weeks. So Kathy's friend Beth
has been in the hospital for 2 weeks. Also, I'm taking a year off teaching, you know, for Bible college. I'm going to take some hang gliding courses and some bungee jumping courses. No. There's all kinds of stuff to do. So, let's just pray for each other. Wednesday nights, you folks that are in master clubs, if you go back and catch up on the He That Is Spiritual lessons or messages, it'd be good. Because we're going to get to some real good stuff here coming down the home stretch. I mean, it's challenging my heart. You know, that you have the fruits of the Spirit, and I find myself saying, okay, I'm going to have to be this, and I'm going to have to be that. The Holy Spirit says, wait a minute, I got to fill you first. Because if you're just going to do that, you're going to be doing it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we live, isn't it?
Yes.
And there's a message I'm going to preach down near the end here that I think it'll revolutionize your personal life. It really, the thought there, and it's a biblical thought. I think we'd be a lot more at ease if we think biblically and live biblically.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Instead of trying to be men pleasers. And that's not what we're here to do. And so I hope you'll be part of that. Amen? Anything else? Anything else? All right. We'll see you tonight. We're in the doctrine. We're in the doctrine of hamartiology. Little three-letter word, sin. And so, pray you'll be back tonight for tonight's service. All right. Well, let's close in prayer. Brother Joe, lift your voice and close for us, would you?
Amen. God bless you.